When Amanda and I were first dating, I asked her before one of her birthdays what she wanted. She told me that she wanted a necklace. In particular, she wanted it to be a small cross, but not just any cross. It was to be small and delicate, mostly covered in marcasite, but with a few tiny diamonds here and there. I've never seen anything like that before, I remember telling her. Yeah, neither have I, she replied. So it may not exist? I asked. I've never seen one, but I'm sure it does somewhere, she said, shrugging off my concern. Now, I was very determined to find this mysterious cross, not just because I wanted to get her something she would like for her birthday, but it was also still early in our relationship, and I very much wanted to impress her. At this point, I was still choking down mushrooms and things and pretending to like it because she thinks they're delicious. Love makes us do strange things. And then after days and weeks of searching, I confessed to her that I didn't think this ever existed. I didn't think we would find it. Maybe, was all she said. Then one day, we were out to lunch and decided to walk through Nordstrom. And walking to the escalator, I looked over and saw something in the display case. Something in the display case that matched her description perfectly. Small and delicate. Check. Marcasite. Check. A few tiny diamonds. Check. I pulled her over to look at it. Is this sort of what you were thinking? I asked her. Yeah, it's got everything. It turns out that she had no idea how all of those elements would come together in her dream necklace, but she believed that the list surely must exist in one piece of jewelry. I never really thought we would find it, I confessed. I think I spoke it into being, was her response. And there have been a couple other things like this necklace in our relationship that have popped up over the years, and each time she confidently tells me that she spoke it into being, and I roll my eyes. But apparently, she has passed this ability on to Ren, our daughter, because a couple years ago, I asked Ren what she wanted to get Amanda for Mother's Day. Her response was this: a stuffy, shaped like a heart, that was pink, with black pants, arms, eyes, and it had to be smiling. It was a tall order, but okay, I Googled it. To my complete astonishment, it existed in its entirety in her exact description by our favorite stuffy brand. I relayed all of this to Amanda. Of course, if I can speak things into being, then Ren probably can too. She's my daughter. It must be our superpower. And that was it. Now, I don't know that I'm willing to say it's a superpower. However, I have stopped doubting when they describe things that I cannot believe exist, because so far they have. And I was thinking about this week, when I was reading our gospel for today. For the past several weeks, we have heard about Jesus healing people. Last week, we heard about the remarkable healing of the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, as well as Jairus' daughter, whom Jesus brought back from the dead. To the woman, he declares, "Your faith has made you well." And to Jairus, Jesus says, "Do not fear, only believe." I really didn't think that much about those statements last week. And after all, they seem like somewhat regular Jesus fare, but juxtaposed with last week's miracles, today Jesus returns to his hometown where he's first met with amazement at all that he says. But that quickly turns into offense and unbelief. And at that point, the narrator shares, and he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Last week, a person's faith was a major component in healing. And here is where I thought about Amanda and Ren's superpower of speaking things into being. They both had unshaking belief that the things they described must somehow, some way, exist in the world. Was that part of why what they described existed? Without that faith, would there be no cross or no stuffy? When I was growing up, there was a period where we attended St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Bothell. And if you've ever been there, front and center in that church is a crucifix. But I've never seen one like this before. This Jesus is flying off of the cross, arms outstretched, with his linen burial clothes flying down his back. The overall effect, at least for me, is a Jesus who looks an awful lot like Superman, complete with those extended arms and his cape flying off to defeat the bad guys. I even used to call it Superhero Jesus. But Superman has his kryptonite, that one thing in the universe that can weaken or destroy him. And then I began to wonder, if Jesus were a superhero with the superpower of healing, what would his kryptonite be? And I think we get the answer in today's gospel. It's lack of faith. It's unbelief. The lack of belief makes it so Jesus struggles to perform miracles he can't perform except for a few. And biblical scholar Ephraim Augusto goes so far as to say Jesus cannot remain too long among those who lack faith. Jesus cannot remain too long among those who lack faith. Maybe their lack of faith makes him uncomfortable. Or sad. Or maybe it even sucks his power and holiness from him. In Jesus' ministry, if people have faith, then healing can happen. If they don't, it can't. Belief and healing go hand in hand. This concept is not foreign to us, but not in the way that healing has been abused, like in the terrible prosperity gospel where if I am loved by God enough, if I am blessed enough, if I pray enough, if I read scripture enough, if I X, Y, and Z enough, I will be cured of anything that is wrong with me. No, that's not of God. But we do have this thing called the placebo effect, where a sham treatment can cure you because you believe it can. Now, I'm not trying to dismiss Jesus' healings as an example of the placebo effect, although, honestly, what does it matter if the person is truly healed? After all, Jesus never underwent any randomized double-blind controlled trials that I know of. But what's wrong with the placebo effect? It's incredible. It's a miracle. Something immaterial like a thought can impact something material like our bodies. It can change entire physiological processes and cure us. Science can't tell us why. Quite frankly, it defies all logic and reason. We have to remember that God is immaterial. God is not a bearded old man in the sky. God is a being that is all and nothing. All genders, yet genderless. Completely ineffable, yet wholly intimate. God is not created, yet intertwined with creation. Our souls are immaterial too. So is our spirit. However the placebo effect works, it needs faith. It is nothing short of a miracle. Our immaterial prayers ascend to an immaterial God, and they in turn affect our material bodies. Now, however Jesus' healings work, they need faith too, or his power to perform them wanes. And it's no wonder then that this gospel ends with the disciples being sent out to heal and share the faith of Jesus. They are building up belief in the world. If Jesus were a superhero, he would be the only one that actually needs us so that he can better go about doing his good works in the world. With us, miracles may not always work, but they are possible. Without us, miracles never would be. You can't force belief. It has to come from within. And I pray that we may tap into that potential of belief that we all contain, so that we may daily draw deeper into the mystery of God and into the way of the faith, that together with Jesus, our belief can help in our own lives and in healing the sick, setting captives free, and caring for the poor. It all starts with a prayer. From there, we can help manifest it in the world.